welcome in, everyone, to the Kia Sports Podcast. Tonight, my special guest, two rising stars in the world of Ohio MMA, as we bring in from Iron Tiger, Jake Miller, along with the 155-pound champion, Michael Arrieta. So sit tight, put your feet up, and grab something cold to drink. It is now time for the Kia Sports Podcast. Good evening, everyone, and welcome in once again to the Kia Sports Podcast, the largest growing, fastest growing podcast in all of Northeast Ohio. As mentioned in the opening, tonight, two very special guests, Michael Arrieta and Jake Miller. They are training partners, and they are two of the rising stars in Ohio MMA, fighting out of Iron Tiger at this time. And guys, as I say every single episode, especially episodes like this where it's going to get a ton of views, a ton of hits, a large amount of attention. Who knows, maybe he will, I'll just come out and say it. Maybe somebody will go ahead and block me again like they did last time because, I don't know, some people can't handle the truth, I guess. Anyways, this episode, like all of our episodes, is brought to you by our fine sponsors. If you want to be a sponsor, email me today, coachvin14@yahoo.com. Again, coachvin14@yahoo.com. Sponsors including Richard Ward of Remax 2000. Now, Richard is the number one hometown expert. He's a full-time realtor specializing in listing homes, new home construction, military relocation, and pricing strategies. Whether buying or selling, Richard Ward has the experience, knowledge, and determination to get the job done. For more information, contact Richard Ward at richardwardrealty.com. That's Richard Ward at richardwardrealty.com. Also, Tommy's Barbershop. Guys, are you looking for the premier place to get your chop? Go to where the champ Nick Duganer goes, to Tommy's Barbershop. They will treat you right and keep you looking good for any occasion. You can visit them at 5331 Broadview Road in Parma. And again, my apologies to the champ, that's Duganer, Nick Duganer. You know, the MMA fighters that come on the show, the boxers that come on the show, all of them are very fit. They have to be for their line of work. And a lot of them go work out at the Cleveland Fitness Club. For 20 plus years, they've been much more than a place to go work out. They have it all. Bikes, tracks, courts, and even pools. They truly have something for everyone and are open 365 days a year. You can visit them today at 6600 West 130th, Middleburg Heights. They also own Airport Go-Kart. Now, if you're looking for a fun time with the kids or friends, once the weather starts to warm up, head over to Airport Go-Kart at 16208 Brook Park Road in Cleveland. It's fun for everyone involved at a next-to-nothing price. Speaking of the weather warming up, a lot of people are probably going to hit the deep blue sea pretty soon because they want to go fishing. If you do, then Fishing Mission Charter Service is for you. If you're looking for the best fishing experience of your life, contact Fishing Mission Charter Service at 216-276-5658 or by email at fishingmission@yahoo.com. Captain Paul wants to provide you and your crew with a fun-filled day of fishing on Lake Erie. His 25-foot sport craft is fully loaded with the latest marine electronics. And for your convenience, there's a freshwater sink, marine toilet, live wells, and plenty of storage space. You know, about this time last year, my dad needed a car, and where did we go but Helene Kia. In North Olmsted, Allenrain Road, our guy, James McConville, they call him Jimmy McBone. And if you're looking for a new car, check out him right there. I'll say it again, James McConville at Helene Kia in North Olmsted. Jim is a trusted member of the auto community for over 20 years and will treat you right no matter your car buying need. Want to take this time to say hello to one of our newer sponsors, Hoosier Hockey. Hey, hockey fans, let us take this moment to tell you about Hoosier Hockey. If you're looking for the very best in hockey tape, wax, lace, and apparel, then Hoosier Hockey needs to be your first stop every single time. Find them online, www.hoosierhockey.org, or on Amazon, as well as Jenny's Popcorn, but you can find them anywhere. There's never a wrong place to find Jenny's. Jenny's Old Fashioned Popcorn is a family-owned tradition. They've been serving the customers in Northeast Ohio and beyond for 65-plus years. You can find their flavors anywhere popcorn is sold, including Giant Eagle and Mark's. Visit them online at jennyspopcorn.com or in person at 38727 Taylor Parkway. As you hear me turn the page, guys, that is how many sponsors we have. That is only half of them. We're going to get to a few more of them and then start the show. Obviously, there's many more to come later on in the show. I'll have to read some more because I almost run out of breath doing this. There's that many. And you know why? Because it's a good deal. It's super cheap, super affordable. Contact me, Vince McKee, CoachVin14, yahoo.com. For your small business, you won't believe the deal I'm going to give you. Kind of like the deal I gave Rocket Fizz Candy. You have a sweet tooth? Rocket Fizz has you covered. With everything from your childhood to today, they didn't miss a beat putting together this magnificent display of candy and soda paradise. You can visit them at 530 Euclid Avenue, Suite 22B, in the heart of the 5th Street Cafe. Candy, candy all the time. Every now and then, you're going to want a real meal. And if you're like me, you're going to love Italian food. Well, Frank's Italian Cuisine is for you. If you're looking for a place to enjoy a post-game meal, pre-game meal, either one, they have you covered. Love Italian food? Frankie's Italian Cuisine has you covered, from meatball to lasagna. Visit them tonight, 4641 Great Northern Boulevard. One of our first sponsors when we started doing this, way back in the writing days only, when we were strictly doing writing, now we do a little bit of everything, Mullins Construction, and they've stuck around this many years. They do indoor, outdoor, they do it all. Mullins Construction has everything your home or office will need. They do plumbing, hot water tanks, windows, again, everything your home or office will need. Visit them today. This is Mullins Construction, www.cretins.com/Mullins_construction. We have MMA fighters on the show tonight. Obviously, that is, I don't have a son, but if I did, I'd want him to get involved with that. Maybe my daughters will one day. But right now, my daughters are both playing soccer because of soccer shots. The grass will be green soon enough, and the pitch will be perfect for some outdoor action. Sign your kids up for soccer shots today. It's an excellent program to teach your child about exercise and overall hard work. All right, that's it for now, guys. 7 minutes of sponsors is all I'm going to give you. We'll do some more later in the show. Again, we provide a quality product, honest podcasting, entertaining podcasting, and that's why the sponsors are lining up hand over fist. Up next, Mike Arrieta and Jake Miller. And we're back here on the Keon Sports Podcast, where tonight we are joined by two very special guests, two fighters who I have had the pleasure of seeing fight multiple times. I was actually there for Jake Miller's first professional fight, his first three professional fights, as well as a couple with Michael Arrieta. So, guys, I want to welcome you in. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Oh, absolutely. Trust me, it's my honor. And as our fans know, our show is very MMA-based, very boxing-based. We cover the big three, football, baseball, basketball, all that good stuff. But everybody knows my true love, obviously, is MMA and boxing. So just want to start, Jake, if you want to answer first, and then Michael from there. Where do you train, and what is your current record and age?
I'm 25. I fight at Grove City Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy. And my record is 4-1. And I'm Michael. I'm 19 years old. I fight at a Grove City Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I have an amateur record right now of 4-0.
And Michael, we'll stay with you for a second, and then we'll go back to Jake. So kind of, snake around questions for the first couple. Michael, okay. What got you interested in the world of MMA?
Honestly, I started just straight training jiu-jitsu. I dabble a little bit in Muay Thai as well, because we have both of those are main martial arts at our gym. I started jiu-jitsu when I was 14, I was a freshman in high school. I played all the traditional sports, baseball, basketball, football, all that, but I always enjoyed watching martial arts on TV. My dad, he always was into just kind of martial arts. He did all the traditional martial arts when he was younger, so I kind of thought I would try something out. Of course, I found Grove City presenting jiu-jitsu here where I lived in Grove City. Started jiu-jitsu, trained that for a bit, saw a couple of my teammates, were fighters, decided to try out some MMA classes, and, fell in love with it, and, the rest of history, train, fight, so far so good.
Very cool. And Jake, how about you?
I actually started out, in a backyard, messing around with friends, being an idiot, putting on boxing gloves, plugging it out, and, I took it serious when I found out that there was actually local MMA. I didn't know there was even local MMA at the time. And found Grove City, started training. I actually had my first couple blemishes on my record as an amateur. I fought without training, and very stupid of myself. And found Grove City, though, and started training and just busting it out, man, working hard, training with others.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to start somewhere, you know. It's one of those things that you probably developed a love for it after getting your ass kicked a couple times. And I say that in a loving way. What I mean is, you know, after you kind of felt the way it was to be inside of a cage, you probably figured, hey, I could really be good at this if I take it serious, right?
Yeah. I was walking around at like 190. I fought at 185. So I was like, I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing. But now. You know, I'm working my ass off.
It shows, man. It shows. It definitely shows, trust me. And Jake, staying with you, and then we'll bounce back to Michael again. So I know your fighting style. I've seen you. You know, I've covered you multiple times. For the people who have not yet had the pleasure of watching both of you guys, you know, one at a time here, how would you describe your fighting style?
Well-rounded. I mean, I know where I need to work most is my wrestling, but I feel like my striking and my jiu-jitsu is, you know, I feel very confident anywhere. So I kind of game plan around my opponent, not really focus on my game plan itself. I just try to find their weakness and beat their weakness.
And Michael?
Yeah, so I agree with Jake. I think myself, as well as the rest of our guys, you know, we're very well-rounded. I think I'm a well-rounded fighter. I think I'm good striking. Obviously, I'm a jiu-jitsu fighter. You know, I finished 3 out of my 4 fights, you know, with submissions and, you know, in pretty easy fashion. But, you know, I really think that people underestimate the rest of our game just because we're a Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know, it's the same, but it's not all we do, you know. So I feel like, you know, I have good striking. My wrestling is decent, it's average, but, you know, obviously my strong suit would be jiu-jitsu, but that's not all, you know.
And Jake, you know, for you, you fought 11 times as an amateur. You know, two-part question here. What did that teach you, and what advice would you have for Michael currently going through that same process right now?
I kind of used my amateur career to build a base, figure out where I was, because I started out different than Michael. Michael is now, you know, a legit purple belt. He's very well-rounded, very... I feel like Michael as an amateur right now is just as good as I am, but I'm a pro. So as an amateur for me, I had to kind of figure it out and work on my weaknesses and then figure out, okay, well, my jiu-jitsu is good now. Now let's try to stand and bang with this guy. Let's see if I can put this guy on my feet where Michael can kind of do all of that already. So it's a lot different for him, but I would say work on your weaknesses as an amateur and just make it where you know you might have a question in your game. That's the way I would do it.
Well, I mean, let me preface this next question here. You know, obviously for both of you guys. So it's another two-part question. Now, the first part of the question, I think, is pretty common sense. I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. But the second part of the question is something that I kind of saw firsthand working with Iron Tiger, you know, in a sponsorship role and, you know, limited writing role. So really, two-part question here. One, what are some of the biggest motivators you have going into a fight? But two, and this is the part I kind of saw firsthand, what are some of the biggest distractions? And I say that simply because of this. You know, it's put on fighters sometimes that have to sell tickets. Sometimes they do a slow draw on the card, and what I mean by that is sometimes they don't even reveal who's all fighting on the card until days beforehand or a week beforehand. And all of a sudden, a fighter, you know, it's like, oh shit, I gotta sell some tickets. I don't even know why this is my responsibility. I need to make sure I train and work hard. So that's just me on the outside, you know, kind of looking in. And I just always thought that was total BS. I always thought the fighter shouldn't have that kind of responsibility. But, you know, honestly, back to the first part of the question, you know, and then the second part, you guys, you know, rotate whoever wants to start. Again, what are some of the biggest motivators and also distractions?
It's hard to worry about other things like selling ticket stuff, but it's that. So it's a little harder to think it that way. But, I mean, what gets me motivated to, well, I guess I spared that question. I guess there's distractions and stuff, but the way I get over it, I mean, I just try to do what I can. And I just work my ass off. As far as fighting, I have to kind of get myself mad at my opponent to fight him. Like, mentally, I got to prepare myself for war because it's hard to just go out there and want to punch somebody in the face with no reason behind it. So I try to get myself a reason. Well, my opponents give me a reason to be better for me. So, yes. And as for me, I mean, my motivation, really, it comes straight down to not wanting to let my gym down. It's, I think, the biggest one. You know, everybody wins, everybody loses, but, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, I'm not worried about what people think of me. I'm worried about how I represent my gym and my team. So, I mean, that motivates me to keep working hard and keep doing better, you know. I'm doing this for wins, for growth, maybe not wins for myself, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, I mean, as for distractions, I'm young. You know, I train every day. I work at the gym. I'm kind of just living there. I don't have much distraction. I mean, like you said, we have to do little things like ticket sales and have to deal with, like this past one, I had a bunch of problems with, like, getting, like, things cleared, like my blood work and things cleared, like, you know, had some problems with submission on this one. So it's like, there are always those little things, but you got to kind of look past it and think about, you know what, I'm here to represent my gym, you know, so, like, you got to try keeping the mindset of, you know what, whatever happens, like, I'm ready for this fight, ready for this fight, you know, kind of can't let it get to you too much, or else, you know, you might mess something up during that fight. You know, you got to think, you know, it all comes down to, you know, 9 minutes for me, you know, comes down to 15 minutes, you know, for Jake, but, you know, it's a short time, you know, long camp, short time, you got to keep focused.
Michael, you just mentioned you live at the gym a lot. So, you know, staying with you and then back to Jake there, what is your diet like, and what is a basic day of training consist of for you?
So, diet. That one is very, you know, like I said, I'm young. I, right now, my diet's kind of crazy just because my body can handle it. So, like, when I'm training for a fight, I have a very specific diet. You know, I have my meals portioned out. I have sponsors to help me with meal prep and all that. They send my meals, you know, as well as Jake. So, I mean, my diet is very specific and clean with, like, you know, lean meat, vegetables, you know, certain carbs, all that when I'm in training camp. When I'm not in training camp, I mean, I'm still training very hard, but my diet kind of goes out the window, if I'm going to be honest. I mean, I kind of eat whatever. I mean, I also live at home, so I kind of eat whatever's at home. I don't really buy any groceries, so, you know, I kind of got to deal with that. So, yeah, that's how that goes with my diet.
All right. What was the second question? Oh, it was for Jake. Basically, or not for both of you guys, but yeah, just, you know, your training regimen when you are in a training camp, like, you know, what does a normal day of training consist of?
Well, this part of training camp, I feel like, yeah, kind of speaks for me and Michael. We're always in training camp. There's never, you know, after this fight, it's only been a week. I just put this week off just because I'm being lazy and fat, eating packs of cookies and stuff that I wouldn't eat. But mine's kind of the same as Michael. I eat clean during fight camp. We got the same Fight Fit is our sponsor. Our Fight Fast, my bad. Fit and Fast is our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And we train and work hard every day. So, I mean, a fight camp is all year round for us.
And, you know, here's the thing, too, I got plenty of questions left for both of you guys, and thank you for being so generous with your time. I truly appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah, Michael, if you just want to sit back for a little bit, grab a Coke and chill out, like, these next couple are directed right at Jake for a little bit here, and then we'll get back to you, I promise. So, Jake, you got off to a fast start at 3-0. I personally was at all three fights, sitting cage side, writing for you know, multiple media outlets at that time. So I saw it. I was inches away from you as you, you know, were winning one after another. So a couple of questions concerning that. First, we'll start with the first one. The quick win over Keith Speed. Two things I remember about that fight. One, it was your first fight as a pro, and you looked incredible. It didn't last very long. But then, unfortunately, one thing that really stuck out to me is he immediately protested that he didn't tap out. He didn't, you know, he didn't give a verbal submission. I was right there. I was a foot away. I heard him say it. So for you, it's your first pro victory. You get up with that kind of emotion. Does any of that kind of crap get to you, or do you not even notice it when the other fighters are complaining? I mean, what do you remember about that particular night?
I mean, not to take a stab at Keith B or anything, but I mean, he was fine after I beat him. So I don't care. I mean, my hand's ready at the end of the night. I put in the work every day, so I mean, it really don't affect me. I mean, I've already forgot about it. I'm just trying to work on my sharpening my skills and just get better every day. So,
you know, and it wasn't much longer after that. So that fight was like a week before Christmas in 2017. So, you know, a few months later down the road, I think it was maybe the last show Alliance MMA ever had, but an Alliance MMA show, the weekend of the Arnold, you know, really almost exactly a year ago this past weekend, you got in the ring with this guy, Cage. I'm sorry, you got in the cage with Zach Davis. And I remember two things. One, I'd gotten to know you a little bit at this point. I talked to you a few times and I'd seen you fight. And my first thought was, I'm like, okay, I'm like, this is this other kid's first fight. He didn't have much of an ammy behind him. And I'm thinking like, man, I'm like, Jake is going to run right through this guy. Then he gets in the cage, this Zach Davis dude, and he is stacked. I mean, you would have thought this guy, I'm not going to go overboard and say he looked like a bodybuilder, but he was like really ripped, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'm like, I think Jake's still going to, you know, work him over pretty good here. But he gave you a bit of a war in that first round, and you came out, I'm telling you, man, after that, a house of fire. I've never been so impressed, and I don't think I've ever seen you personally so pumped up, you know, after a victory like you were that night. That was an incredible, incredible fight. What can you tell us about that one?
I had to bring up the inner Jake, man. I had to get myself in that third round. I didn't purposely do it, but I got a point deducted. I got him right in the jump, man. And my coach, man, he gets me going. You know, I got Dave Freitag there. You got to go, man. You're down a point. It's a close fight. You got to dig deep. And I'm like, I got to put this little, you know, I got to put this guy out. So yeah, that's what I did. That's why I went there and just tried to put him out. I just started throwing harder shots. I was kind of pulling back on my shots and stuff. And yeah, he. I wasn't really worried about his size, but he was pretty big, and he was ready. He was game. I mean, he was a good opponent.
Yeah, I mean, that was incredible. You know, I don't want to say like a comeback, because it wasn't like you were losing big or anything crazy. You know, I mean, if it would have went to the cards after three rounds, I would have had it scored for you. You know, 29-28. But still, I mean, that was a hell of a comeback in its own little way, you could say. So after that, you know, you had won your third fight over the summer, and I was at that one as well. You know, no issues at all over James Sanchez. So, you know, you're 3-0. You're 3-0, and the only fight of yours I missed, you know, coming up there in November, I want to say it was against Jeffrey Pelton. Now, you lost. So talk to us a little bit about that fight, but also what you had to do mentally to get right past it.
Yeah, it was actually hard to get over that loss, because, I mean, I knew he was a game opponent. I obviously studied my opponent, and I mean, it was a bad hiccup for me, but it was good I had that hiccup early, because now it helped me improve. And Jeff Alton was a good opponent. He's a good person to share the cage with, so I just learned from it and just keep working.
And you had a short layoff. I mean, only a couple months, you were back in there last weekend against Carlos Garnett. You know, another quick victory. You know, why were you victorious this past Saturday?
We stepped up training. Our training stepped up tremendously for all of us here at Grove City. Our striking, we worked on our striking, wrestling, everything. Man, we've sharpened everything, tightened everything up. So we're still working, too. I'm getting ready. You know, I don't know when I'm going to fight again, but we're going to sharpen it more. So I'm only going to improve from here.
And then, you know, this question is for both of you. And, you know, obviously, Jake, you know, off the record or on the record, doesn't matter to me. You know, keep me posted when your next fight is. I'd like to come out and, you know, check it out. So, I mean, no doubt about it. You know, most reputable MMA companies will, you know, grant media credentials. You know, it takes a weird one not to do that. So I'll leave it there. Anyways, you know, this past Iron Tiger card, and this question is for both of you guys. And this could be a short answer. This could be a long answer. It's up to you. But this past Iron Tiger card, and I only know this personally from selling sponsorships, how important it is that what you advertise is what you deliver. So maybe this is a question more so based towards promoters, I don't know. But this one and previous ones before it have seen fights canceled at the last second or in the week of. Guys like Travis Davis, Lance Phillips, going through a full training camp just to get screwed after months of training because somebody dropped the ball. Whether it is somebody not getting their blood work done, whether it's the promotion's fault, I don't know, someone's got to take blame. Does that ever affect you guys mentally in the back of your head? Do you ever think, you know, as you're getting ready for a fight, oh shit, I hope this guy makes weight, or oh crap, I hope he gets his blood work turned in, or is that like the furthest thing from your mind?
So, I mean, going with that is actually, going back to almost like the distractions or anything, that's probably one of the biggest stresses, you know, of fight camp, because like, you can do everything you can to prepare yourself for this fight, but the fight has to happen. So, I mean, it's happened to all of us who train at Grove City, myself, Jake, you know, we've had people drop out last second. And I mean, it sucks. You know, you make the weight, especially getting closer to the fight. You know, you worry about if you haven't heard anything, if you haven't heard if they got the blood work in, if you haven't heard they signed the contract. You know, we're all here preparing, and you know, if they don't make weight or if they don't get the blood work in, the fight doesn't happen. You did all that work. You know, not for nothing. You still improved. You still got better, but you know, you're not fighting that night, and you're not. You know, let's say you're a pro, you're not making the money that you plan on making. You know, if you're an amateur, you're not making the same money you plan on making. You know, so. It is kind of a big stress, you know, like, it's happened to me a lot. I mean, between my first fight and my second fight, I mean, I came out of my first fight clean. It was a super quick fight, and I tried to get right back in there. It took me 8 months. You know, I was on 6 different cards that ended up falling through. You know, it's definitely frustrating. You know, it shouldn't stop you, but it's a stressful thing, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like it's easier as a pro because pros want the money, really. I mean, a lot of the pros... I don't feel like I've had as many pros drop out because like every part of adrenaline I've had a fight. As an amateur, though, it's a lot harder because, man, people back out. They don't care. You know, you fight all camp. I had a guy, like one of my first fights out of Grove City, I had a guy drop out the day of weigh-ins. Another guy had a guy drop out the day of weigh-ins, and then we just matched up and fought. I didn't know anything about my opponent or nothing. We just fought. So it's definitely definitely a mental thing, but I mean, it's just something you gotta get over. It's part of the fight game now, so hopefully more people will step up and start making weight on time and doing what they need to do, because we always come and we come ready.
I know that. I know that very well. You know, Michael, back to you for a second here. So this past summer, I want to say it was July 27th, either June 27th or July 27th, I did not see your first fight, the one you won in 11 seconds. I was not there. I was at your second fight, though, and I gave you Fighter of the Night. I'm almost positive I gave you Performance of the Night. I think I even gave Jake maybe Knockout of the Night that night. But it was a great night of fights. You looked dominant in only your second fight. You know, who got you ready to start fighting, and who keeps you ready? Like, basically, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, who prepares you for each fight to look that good? And, you know, after the fight's done, who do you go back and review it with and maybe, like, look over the film if that type of thing even happens?
I mean, I prepare with all my coaches and my teammates. I mean, we have very good coaches here at Grove City Shiptu. And, I mean, not just coaches that are just for MMA, but we have coaches specific for each, you know, area of fighting that we have, you know. So, like, depending on how the fight goes with my stand-up, I'll go to my coach, Dave Freetag and Tim Davis. You know, they're very, very, very knowledgeable in stand-up, very, highly respected and ranked in Muay Thai. So, I mean, I'll go with them, as well as Shitsu for both of them. They're both black belts in Shitsu as well. And our MMA coach, Barrett, he's also very in wrestling. He's been coaching wrestling for 30 years, or 20 years, wrestling for 30 years. And, I mean, so, and I also have, you know, great Shitsu Nogi coaches, leg lock coaches, you know. We have coaches all over the board, so I definitely go to each one depending on where I struggled in my fight, you know. So, I mean, they all help me, you know, throughout all the camps and all the post-fights too, you know, kind of reviewing everything and making sure we can sharpen up for the next one.
And, you know, a little bit about this past weekend. So, basically, after 3 dominant performances, you had a chance to fight, or so you thought, for the Iron Tiger Amateur Lightweight Championship this past weekend. You dominated Ryan Santana, who's a hell of a fighter, hell of a kid, somebody who I have a, personally have a ton of respect for. You came out, you put him to sleep in a little bit over a minute, only to have the title pulled from you. This is a weird situation. This is a situation, first of all, congratulations on the win. Flat out. Congratulations. That's all that fucking matters. Number two, though, basically, you had the title like pulled from you. This is so strange that I'm not even going to try to explain it. I'm just going to drop the microphone and let you explain it. What, first of all, talk about the fight. And then second of all, what the hell happened?
All right. So, yeah. First of all, I want to think about, like you said, Ryan Santana. He was a very good fighter, very respectful person. Like, I respect him more than anybody. He is a great opponent. You know, I thank him for the fight. It did go quick. I put him to sleep in a minute 20 by triangle. You know, we had this fight set months and months ago. We had it set last year, actually, in, like, November, December, we had it set. So, we had it set for January 5th first for the title, and it was approved. We both had our contract signed. He ended up getting injured. So, we had to postpone it, unfortunately. But, you know, it was still set. We're still approved for the title. And coming up to this fight this past weekend, about 5 days before, it was 5 days prior to fight night, I get the message that somebody anonymously complained that I didn't have the right amount of fights to be approved for a title, and then they unapproved my fight after having it approved for months beforehand. So, I mean, especially, you know, less than a week out from fight night, it came as a shock. It definitely was frustrating knowing that no matter what happened, you know, I wouldn't officially become the title holder. But, either way, fight goes, you know, we're going to still train just normal, you know, you gotta still, you know, do everything you can to make sure I'm fighting as if I'm fighting for the championship of the world, you know, training doesn't stop. So fight night comes up, we get in the cage, barely throw any hands. I think I threw one punch and one kick. He goes for a takedown off the kick. You know, we end up dropping, we grapple a little bit, get into a little scramble, and I shoot up a triangle, and then that's all she wrote. You know, about 5-10 seconds later, he was asleep. After the fight, he was respectful and humble enough to award me his belt, which I respect more than anything. He didn't have to do that. That was his to keep, you know? So, I mean, that was definitely very, very generous of him, and it showed a lot of character in him. But even though I have it, and I appreciate that gift more than anything, you know, it isn't official. I'm not the 155-pound title holder officially, even though I beat the champ. I showed that I deserve it. So I guess we got to see what happens in the future for that, but the whole situation was kind of ridiculous. So, I mean, we're kind of trying to figure out what's going to happen next off of that. But
Who contacted you to let you know that?
So the promoter did. The promoter contacted me. He messaged me and said, hey, the commission just emailed him saying that I wasn't going to be approved for the title anymore. And so he let me know. My coach let me know at the same time when they all found out. As for who gave the anonymous complaint, sponsorship, whatever, you know, there's rumors going around, of course, but they don't ever let that out. So, I mean, we don't know. We don't know what happened. You know, all respect, of course, to their team and their people. I know it wasn't them. They're respectful enough to, you know, like I said, award me their belt. And, you know, they see it as I am, you know, the champ of that fight, but unfortunately not the title holder officially. So, yeah, he let me know, and I couldn't tell you much more other than that. All I heard was I don't have four fights, you know, I had three, and apparently that wasn't good enough for them. So.
And, you know, in a situation like that, Jake, this, you know, there's a little bit of an age gap between you two guys. Obviously, you know, you've been around the fight game a little bit longer. You know, when you find out something like that about one of your teammates, you know, 5 days before a fight, so I'm sure you guys, I'm willing to bet you told Jake, right?
Yeah, I told my whole team. They all found out the second I found out, basically.
So, Jake, what do you tell Mike? I mean, what do you tell Michael in a situation like that? Do you just kind of pat him on the back and say the hell with it, or do you use it, you know, do you tell him to use it as motivation? What kind of mentorship goes into that?
It's at the end of the day, it's still a fight. You still gotta fight. So, I mean, just keep doing what you're doing. Just go beat him, show him that you are the champ. You gotta beat what's in front of you.
Well,
I
don't know, man. I think it sucks, but at the same time, like you said, you know, at the end of the day, no one could take away that victory. You know what I mean? Like, when I opened up the show tonight, I said, hey, I'm going to have on the 155-pound amateur Iron Tiger champion. And I meant it because that's who you are. So, you know, a belt is good. It's a physical thing you can hold in your hands. But I think anytime you go out and you beat the champ of any kind of league, federation, you know, association, whatever you want to call it, it is what it is, right? So no one's gonna take that from you. So basically, Michael, you know, how many more wins or fights in general do you want to have at amateur before you legitimately sit down and say, okay, it's time to turn pro?
So I know, you know, I'm not 100% positive, but I mean, I know they have the 9th fight minimum now that's been changed as of, you know, I forgot how recent, but it's definitely a lot more than what we had planned on before when I started fighting, when it was, you know, I think it was 5, I believe, so. But now that I'm at 4, I'm almost at that previous requirement, but now that's not going to be enough, you know, we're just going to have to keep pushing. I mean, once we get to 6-7, we're definitely going to sit down and start thinking about, you know, how we're going to go about getting my last few amateur fights in. But, I mean, it's going to be a long road now, but we're going to get it done. I'm going to try and fight as much as possible, get it done here in the next year or two. I mean, honestly, I don't plan on being amateur, you know, in the next year and a half. You know, I'm going to try my hardest to get there, get pro as quick as possible.
Yeah, they need to change that rule. I mean, that'll be a subject of a different show, but I'd say 4 fights is enough, personally. But that's, you know, I've never been in a cage as a fighter, so who the hell am I to say that? But I've been around the fight game for a long time. I've been watching it since I've been a little kid. And, you know, back in the day, like, there was no, a lot of times there was no amateur. You got in the cage. But, you know, all that aside, you know, you should be very proud of how far you've come in such a quick time. So I have one question left for both of you guys, but before I get to that, I have to embarrass Jake just a little bit. I'm going to go off the chart here. This is not on my list of questions, but Mr. Miller, you weren't, you know, Friday night was fun, I'm sure, but you did a little something with the rest of your weekend, didn't you? How about you tell us about it?
Oh, yeah, I did right after my fight, man. I didn't go home until, like, 1:30, man, and I was off fight camp because I just won my fight. So I ate me some McDonald's and went to bed. My wife had a tournament the next day. And she signed me up. And she's like, you know, you still have that tournament tomorrow. You going to do it? I think your coach wants you to do it. And I'm like, well, screw it. I already won my fight. Fuck it. I'll just go in and do the tournament. I just got my purple belt. I don't know. How long has it been, man? Like, not that long at all, maybe. Yeah, a couple weeks, maybe a month. I just got it, and I was like, fuck it, I was going to go in and do this tournament. I went in, and I won gold. And everybody's like, man, how'd you do it? I'm like, I don't know, I just wanted to learn, just did it, man. And yeah, it feels good to win a fight, and it just feels good to win, really. You get like this body high, man. Like, your body just, you crave winning. You just crave it. So, it's fun.
You know, all I can picture is one of your opponents, you know, that late Friday night, you know, as part of that tournament, you know, they're probably like all in bed early, like, you know, like they ate healthy, they probably said their prayers, they did everything, and, you know, they're just like in bed, like a nervous wreck. Then I just fucking picture you like at a McDonald's, like some all-you-can-eat, all-night-long McDonald's. You got like the Big Mac in front of you, a plate full of nuggets, you're like throwing down a milkshake and stuff.
Yeah, I did, man. I had a Shamrock Shake, to be exact. I had a Shamrock Shake, 4 powder fries. I went to bed, man. I went to bed at like 1:30. I was tired. And it's a good thing I won my fight quick, because I was like worried I was going to have a war. I never know. You know, you never know what you're getting into. You got another guy trying to take your head off. You're like, yeah, you got to fight this motherfucker. So
yeah,
I was hoping it was quick, and then thank God it was, because then I went out and won that. So it's cool, fun.
That is hilarious. That's hilarious.
You're training with the best, man. Make sure the best.
All right. So, last question for both of you guys. I'm a huge MMA fan. Obviously, you could probably tell just from the little bit that you know of me. But my whole life, you know, like, really, I've always loved it. And the one unique thing is the respect amongst camps, the respect amongst who your training partners are. You know, what camp you come out of. You know, with the UFC, you always hear, you know, the Greg Jackson camp out there in Arizona. Team Alpha Male was a big deal for a little while there. I'm drawing like a mind blank right now, but DC and Cain Velasquez, you know, two heavyweights for a long time. A lot of people forget that DC was a heavyweight in Bellator, and he was a heavyweight in the UFC for his first couple of fights, but because Cain Velasquez was the champion, he dropped down to light heavyweight so he didn't have to fight his teammate. So that brings me to you guys. Both 155 pounders, you know, both tremendous fighters. Would there come a day? Would you do it? Let's say 3 years down the road for a Bellator or a bigger company. I'm not talking, local Ohio. I'm talking, the big time. Would there come a day where you would shake hands and say, all right, the promoter wants us to do it. We're going to do it.
Every day at the gym. Yeah, I get my mic every day in the gym. No, I don't know, man. I don't think I could fight my teammate. No, I would either let him have the title or he would probably do the same for me. I don't know. Michael, would you fight me?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the smartest idea for me, but I mean, to be honest. Well, like I said, if it's for something big like that, we've talked about that before because, obviously these guys are my family. These guys are my training partners, my teammates, my brothers. It's difficult to think about that, but, I mean, I couldn't give you a direct answer, but if it were for something like a Bellator contract or UFC contract, it might have to happen, but it'd be a very difficult decision. I don't think I could ever stand across from any of these guys and think I have to go fight them now, It'd be a super difficult decision to make, probably wouldn't, like Jake said, we might, give it up to the other guy, it's their time to shine, and then maybe it'll come back around for us, but, yeah, that's a tough one, so that might be the way it's gotta go.
Well,
honestly, Mike was a lot taller than me. I mean, I don't know what his weight might, when he gets older, is he gonna, we just had to wait and see, and yeah, we'll both be in the UFC soon, something big. So,
well, no, that's the thing too. And I was thinking about that. And Jake, no offense to you. I mean, I've stood next to you. In fact, I actually have a picture with you. But I could see, and this is no dig in any which way. And people who understand the fight game will understand that this is not a dig. But naturally built, I could see, because Michael's only 19. So yeah, like you said, in a couple years, I could kind of see him bumping up to 170, where I could see you dropping down to like 145, so I could see it going either way.
Yeah, I've actually thought about going down to 145. This fight, I was actually, because of my sponsor and stuff, Fit Fast, man, they helped me out a lot. I started eating good meals, so everything was going good. Man, I was 5 pounds. I had 5 pounds of water weight because I was still drinking a gallon of water like a week before my fight. So I slammed on some cookies and made my weight cut a little harder, but yeah, I've thought about doing a test cut and seeing how I would feel at 45 yet.
Well, guys, it's been my pleasure. Like I said, I hope to see one of your fights again very, very soon here. Please, keep me posted of cards coming up. It was cool. I'm not going to lie. I don't like selling sponsorships. I always said if I was going to have to sell sponsorships to do something, I would do it for myself. I would do it for my own company. So I hauled off and started my own company. But as far as, we go with Keon Sports, we do cover a lot of MMA. We cover a lot of boxing. There was a card in Cleveland 2 weeks ago. WFVC was a MMA card the weekend before you guys. We were there to cover it. We have something called Honor Fighting Championship coming up in 2 weeks on the 23rd. So we're going to be covering more MMA. I would love to reach back out to the guys at Iron Tiger. Maybe I can mend some fences. I have no idea, but I would love just to come and cover you guys as a media outlet as opposed to having to worry about, selling sponsorships. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's one of those things. So, but my bullshit aside anyways, so just definitely want to thank you guys. It's been my pleasure. It was my absolute pleasure to watch you both fight, watch you grow. Jake, like I said, that fight last year at the Arnold against Zach Davis was incredible. And, I do wish I could have been there this weekend though. Cause I knew Michael Arrieta versus Ryan Santana would be a headliner anywhere in this part of the country. I predicted you to win. I figured you were going to finish him in the second round. I don't want to say I'm shocked, but I was a little shocked when I picked up my phone and saw you put him to sleep in a little bit over a minute. I was like, holy crap. But, you know, that's impressive, man. And that's, like I said, the first time I saw you fight back in July, the first time I remember, like, with the people I was sitting with cage side, and I just said, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, this dude has it. I'm like, oh my God. You know? And I remember you had a lot of people in the crowd cheering you, too. And I thought that was really cool. And same with you, Jake. Like, I know you're good friends with Reagan Haverfield. I want to say his last name is. You have people who support you both. And, you know, that's cool. That's what you want to see. You know, to me, like, MMA fighters, they're people that kids could grow up idolizing. These are people who are disciplined. These are people who sacrifice time with their friends, their family. You know, jokes about McDonald's aside, they have to keep a strict diet. They make unbelievable disciplined choices. While a lot of people go home and sit their ass on a couch, these guys are working their asses off every single day to get better. Unbelievable sacrifices for very little money. Amateurs don't get paid anything at all. You know, professionals, when you're first starting off, I don't know about anything outside of Iron Tiger, but, you know, from what I understand, most professionals, you get $800 just to show up. You better show up, make the weight, $800, and then you got to win to get the second $800. Jake, I don't know if that's different for you, and you don't need to reveal if it is or it isn't, none of my business. But when you're first starting out in the pros, you don't make a lot of money. So again, it's just one of those things, you know, right or wrong.
Yeah, this hopefully the sport grows more, man. Because you're putting your life, we put our life on the line. Even as amateurs, you put your life on the line, man. You got a guy in front of you trying to take your head off. So hopefully the sport continues to grow and it gets recognized more. You know, more local fighters can get paid a little bit better. You know, I'm not asking for $100,000, but shit, man, $2,000 would be better than, you know, a grand. You're getting your head taken off in there. I got kids and stuff. I got a wife to support. You know, I don't want to be, you know, beat up coming home and, you know, feeling, you know, you're putting your life on the line when you step in that cage. So hopefully, you know, maybe in the future it'll pay a little better.
Well,
which that, you know, plays out.
Well, here's the thing too, and I'll let you guys go. So none of this is on my question sheet. So, but I get off on a kind of a tangent, so I'll just say this one last thing. I'll definitely let you guys go. What a lot of people don't realize, a lot of people say, well, Stipe Miocic is the heavyweight champion of the world for, you know, whatever that was, 2 years. Why does he need a real job? Why does he have to go be a fireman? People don't realize most MMA fighters, if not all MMA fighters, don't have health insurance. There's no health insurance. It isn't some job where you're punching in and out, you're going to get your health insurance. You're only going to get paid when you fight. If the other guy doesn't make weight, you're screwed, or doesn't get his blood working or something like that. This isn't like punching a clock 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? So again, yeah, like you just said, like training camps, tickets, all that shit, you know, even in the UFC, they only give two comps. You get two comps. So if you want to fly your fans out, not your fans, but your family, you want to fly your family out to a fight, that shit ain't cheap, you know? So that.
Right. Yeah, you gotta make weight, which is part of the job. You know, you gotta fight, and you also, people don't realize that UFC, you know, even if, like, from what I understand UFC and stuff, I'm not in the UFC, so I don't know 100%, but I think they gotta pay their own taxes, too.
Yes.
So you gotta do your own taxes on top of all that. You know, that's why they got managers, and then you gotta pay your manager, and it's just, you know, it's difficult now. Yeah, hopefully it eases up, and people can see, you know, it's a growing sport, and it's just, I mean, it's fun, though. It is fun. I mean, it's like I said, there's no other high than they get in there and fight, man. And when you win, you're on a whole different, your brain and everything is just on a whole different.
No.
It's all different, man. It's fun.
I can only imagine. I just know what it feels like to be a fan of it, you know, and rooting for a fighter to win. And when he does, the rush. So, guys, I want to thank you again before I let you go. Is there any kind of sponsors or social media? You know, how can we find you? What would you like to plug?
I'm on Facebook, Instagram. You know, you can find both of us on there on that. You know, we have a good amount of sponsors, you know, who support us. You know, I have Fit and Fast for our meal prep. Jake's got that as well. You know, Power Train for lifting, of course, our gym, City Percent Jiu-Jitsu. We have a bunch of other sponsors locally to help us out. You know, for myself, Link Camp and Barbershop, you know, they support me. They, you know, you got to have the fresh cut before a fight. You know how that works. So, you know, you know, Buckeye PMR, they're a chiropractor. Well, you know, we got a lot of local names that help us out, you know, so it's definitely, you know, it's not just us fighting that, you know, that you got you ought to have the support response from your fans.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you again. Thank you for taking a few minutes away from your nightly routines to sit down and have a good conversation with me. I hope I covered anything, and I hope I covered everything, I should say. And I appreciate it. So you guys have a good night, and I will have this. This will probably be posted by Sunday night, and I'll make sure I tag everybody, and I'll tag Dave Free Tag as well.
Of course, yep, thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having us on, man.
Oh, guys, pleasure's all mine. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
And guys, that was Michael Arrieta and Jake Miller. And I don't say it for hyperbole. I say it because I mean it. Those are definitely two rising stars in Ohio MMA. Two guys I've seen fight multiple times, like I've said. Like I've said multiple times. So, seriously, though, you don't want to miss out on this. It's very rare that you could spot somebody with that much talent that early, as both these guys have. You know, like I said, Jake actually talked about flirting with the idea of bumping to 145. I could see him doing that. He'd be a bigger 145, but I could see him pulling that off, as well as Michael maybe bumping up to 170. But at the time, you know, right now, why even worry about it? Just keep dominating at 155 till you absolutely have to move, if ever. If you don't have to move, then screw it. Never move. I don't blame you. All that aside, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We talked about our sponsors a little bit earlier. We have a couple left to cover. Workout Factory. If you're looking to work off those post-holiday pounds, have a busy schedule, and need a place to work out that is always open, check out the Workout Factory at 5508 Ridge Road in Parma, right off of Ridge Road. And we have, let's see here, our last one of the night, Ultimate Home Remodelers. They focus on the very best in windows, siding, and roofing. I am starting to lose my voice, so I'm going to let you guys go. It was a fun, fun night. As always, we want to thank our sponsors like we just did. And if you know a company, roofing, plumbing, we're looking for a photographer company, it doesn't matter. It could be a dog walking company. I don't care. If you know of any kind of company that needs good, solid sponsorship on a show that everybody listens to, send them my way. CoachVin14@yahoo.com. That's it for now. Everybody have a good night. What's that merchant on my ear? Perhaps the end is drawing near. You never hear the shot that takes you down. Out of time. So say goodbye. Thank you.